You're listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
I'm Russ White for MSU Today. Bonnie Knutson is a professor in the School of Hospitality Business at Michigan State University, and she's a 2012 MSU Alumni Association Distinguished Alumna, honored for her many years of teaching and inspiring thousands of Spartans.
In my high school, when I was growing up, above the stage in the auditorium, there was chiseled a saying from Diogenes, the Greek philosopher. And if I can paraphrase, it said something to the effect that the foundation of every nation lies in the education of its youth. I firmly believe that. And so to the extent that I can be a part of that building block, that I can contribute a block to that foundation, it's not only for the student, the individual student, but it's for the community, the Spartan community, the state of Michigan, the U.S., the world. And I'm blessed to be able to do that. So, yeah, I do like what I'm doing.
Dr. Bonnie says that over the course of her teaching career that the students have changed some, but also remain much the same, too.
The students, I would say they've changed and they've not changed. They're always hungry for tomorrow. They've always got this sense of optimism, and that's what keeps me young, is that belief in the future, we can do it. And I think that's more prevalent here in a university like Michigan State, because we are a land grant. We are we're a university of the people, for the people, by the people, so to speak. And so I sense that optimism and that roll up the sleeves, let's get it done. There's a problem out there. There's a mountain to climb. Doggone it, we're going to carry the green and white flag over that mountain or build whatever needs to be built. So in that way, they haven't changed. Where I have seen a change is more of an internal pressure on themselves to succeed, to make it, to wonder. That unknown is exciting, but it's a bigger unknown. And so there's a little bit of a that seems to be more present today. But the more you work with them, the more optimism you see, and I wouldn't change that for the world.
Dr. Knutson describes the state and future of the hospitality industry.
The futurist John Nesbitt coined a phrase, and he said, high tech, high touch. And in essence, what that means is the more that high tech controls or invades or is wrapped around our lives, the more we need high touch, because in essence, we're still social animals. Barbara Streisand's song, people who need people. And so we have always, we being the industry, have always said we are the gift of hospitality. What is that gift? It's that personal connection. It's in at Michigan State, we say Spartans helping Spartans. And that's the mantra of not only the industry of that personal connection, that gift of hospitality, but it's part of Michigan State too. So the two of them kind of go together. So the challenge for the industry then is how do we continue to give that gift of hospitality, which is a personal connection, in an increasingly high-tech world. And that's where the creativity comes in, that these students will take from here and go out there and figure out how to marry that. Because if we lose that gift of hospitality, we've lost hospitality. And that we can't do, because that's what connects us in the human spirit as people to people. And that, it just can't happen.
Just like the impact Dr. Bonnie has had on so many Spartans, she says MSU has had a major impact on her life, too.
I mentioned before the quote from Diogenes. And I think back, you know, building, I was supposed to be the boy of the family. And so I learned to lay concrete, do some wiring, do some roofing, caddy for my dad. And I built a lot of stuff. Not very well, but I built stuff when I was a kid. And so that idea of being able to build for the future, my parents showed me the floor plan. They showed me really what the building could look like. My family, parents, husband, kids, they showed me what the plan had to be to build this building. And Michigan State, they gave me the tools. They gave me the hammer and the chisel. They showed me how to use it, how to hit it, so that you could take this block of raw talent, which is the student, and in 4 years, you can help shape that into the people that will solve the issues in the future, or the issues and the problems in the future. So Michigan State gave me the tools. I saw the floor plan from my family, and I saw what the building could look like from my family and from my heritage, but I didn't have the tools until I came here. So they're as President Simon says, they're the transforming elements in my life.
You can learn more about 2012 MSU Alumni Association Distinguished Alumna Dr. Bonnie Knutson at hospitalitybusiness.broad.msu.edu. I'm Russ White for MSU Today.
This is Greening of the Great Lakes inside MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Here's your host, Dr. Kirk Heinze.
Well, it's a real pleasure to have on Greening of the Great Lakes Roger Curtis, who's the president of a real jewel in our state, and that's the Michigan International Speedway, located in the beautiful Irish Hills. First, Roger, it's great to have you on the program. Long overdue, given all that you and MIS have been doing over the years on the environmental front.
Well, thank you. I greatly appreciate that. And, you know, a lot of people don't connect environmentalism, conservation with motorsports and NASCAR in particular and our facility, but it really is a logical connection. And I do consider myself a conservationist personally at home with my family. And I think that you look at all the fans in our grandstands, and yes, I know we have cars going around, you know, burning gasoline, but we have fishermen, hikers, hunters, campers, boaters, rafters. Those are our fans in the stands, and the environment is near and dear to them. And so I think there is a logical connection. And what a great platform with 100,000 people here twice a year and a lot of other events going on that we have to speak to them and show them, hey, it's okay to wear green on your sleeve and support the environment and still be a NASCAR fan.
You talk about some of the, obviously, the obvious environmental advantages to doing some of these conservation and green initiatives. You talk about the economic advantages, but then you say it's just the right thing to do. I think that speaks volumes to your ethic on stewardship.
Well, listen, our planet faces a lot of issues right now, everything from global warming at the macro level to invasive species. At the micro level, and whether it's Asian carp or I just spent 2 days last week on quote-unquote vacation cutting down all of autumn trees on property. So, you know, we're trying to address all those issues. We can't be everything to everybody, but we are certainly trying to pick some very specific areas where we feel like we can have an impact. But also, again, I go back to that huge platform and the millions of NASCAR fans around the country. The superstars of the sport, they're heroes, people look up to them, they listen to them. They listen to us, even little old MIS here and myself. And I feel like if I can share my passion for the environment and show everyone that it's okay to still be a NASCAR fan, then I think that, you know, people can go home and it'll resonate. And the recycling program is a great example. People are begging, our campgrounds are begging for more and more opportunities to recycle. So that's terrific.
Yes, and I know you've partnered with a lot of folks on the recycling efforts, one of whom is a good friend of this program, and that's Chupan Recycling.
Yeah, they are absolutely fantastic, and we've got a great partnership with them. It started in 2008, and Coca-Cola has supported us as well, along with Safety Clean. And we started with just some of the grandstands, you know, took some baby steps to see if the recycling would work. It did. The rest of the fans started asking for it, and the campers in the campgrounds, and we have almost 8,000 campers here that stay an average of 5 days. So we've had some service groups that have stepped up to help us manage the campgrounds because it is a massive undertaking. But Chupan and the service groups and Coke, I'm very proud to say we've recycled well over 200,000 pounds of materials. That's not even counting cardboard, which is probably, I'm going to guess, in the 80,000 pound range since 2008 and growing. Each year, it incrementally, it gets bigger. We are the largest recycler in NASCAR. We're also the largest recycler of all sports stadiums, football, baseball, basketball, whatever, in the state of Michigan. So we're very, very proud of that.
My guest is Roger Curtis, who's president of the Michigan International Speedway. Roger, let's talk about an extension of a partnership you've had for quite some time now with Adrian College. You call it Track and Explore. What's Track and Explore, and how are you expanding this this initiative?
Well, you know, we're about conservation here. We're in the Irish Hills, which is already beautiful. We live in this community, all of us that work here. I'm on the Onsted School Board. My kids go to school there. Education is very, very important to all of us. And we've really tried to find a way to encompass all those things. And the fact that we have 1,400 beautiful acres that I really want people to see at non-race time. And we worked with Adrian College, as you said, to start Track and Explore, which is a great opportunity for K through 12 kids to come out. And there's a series of programs that the Adrian College professors and their students have put together. They're customized, again, for kids all the way from kindergarten up to seniors in high school. And they've done a terrific job of looking at and opening up our facility and our wetlands and our forest and our fields to do some really cool things. They're doing water testing, talking about water quality, why that's so important, identifying flora and fauna that is native to the Irish Hills, an animal encounter with turtles and snakes and newts and all kinds of really cool stuff. Plus the stuff that you see, you know, sandhill cranes, blue herons, ospreys, all kinds of things that we have out here. And then a track tour, which includes some physics, obviously going out on the banking and talking about the 200-mile-an-hour speeds the NASCAR guys and ladies have going into the turns and how they stick and don't hit the wall and how they can turn and go through there that fast. So it's in its infancy. We just started it. I rolled it out earlier this week. But this spring, all the schools are booking up Jackson, Washtenaw, Lenawee County. Heck, we'd like to expand it to the entire state to come out here and really get their hands on, get the kids involved with the environment. And if we don't turn them into teachers and scientists, and we won't turn every single one of them into that, at least open their eyes to why conservation is important.
I understand that there may be plans down the road, and I hope I'm not preempting anything, but for perhaps a building, a science center that might be on the MIS grounds.
Yeah, that's our vision. We have a centennial barn. It's absolutely amazing. Graves Farm. It's also our campground. It's where some of our best woods and trails and ponds are. And this magnificent barn, we're doing just enough to keep it up structurally, but it's so amazing. I want to do something with it. And so our vision with Track and Explore and Adrian College is to eventually get the funding to turn that into a year-round science center, nature center, educational center, not just for students, but for teachers and the general public that can come out and do a lot of different things. And what a vision, because it's a beautiful building. And, you know, it's going to take a couple of years, but I don't think it's that incredibly far off because MIS Cares, our charitable foundation, is heavily involved in wanting to get it done. Ryan Newman, NASCAR Sprint Cup Series driver, is a huge conservationist, and his foundation, Racing for Wildlife, is heavily involved in helping fund the program. And then Adrian College, obviously, having them as a partner, they have access to grants that us as a racetrack wouldn't have. So I'm really excited. I think it's probably 2 or 3 years away. But, you know, when you think about it, that's not that long. And some great plans in store for that.
Well, best of luck with that moving forward. Let's move on to something else that's rather intriguing, innovative, and probably, I need to get down and take a look at it, rather spectacular to see, and that's your 8,000 square feet of solar panels on your Pitt Road building, apparently.
The opportunity came up, and we've explored solar and wind here since I got here in 2006, and we replaced the old suite building with a brand new one a couple years ago. It's absolutely magnificent, state-of-the-art with everything, and the opportunity came about to incorporate solar panels. And we used Unisolar, a Michigan-based company, and amazingly, people may be shocked these days, these solar panels, I think everyone thinks of these arrays, you know, these panels out in a field. This came like a roll of carpet. And they went up on the roof, and they just rolled out the carpet and put it down, and it is helping offset a lot of our electric usage in the Media Center suite building down there. And my goal is to get more. We really want to do more wind and solar here. It's moved slower than I would like after we did that building. I really thought we'd move quicker, but we continue to talk to some potential partners, and we're not done. Hopefully we'll have some more out here soon. We focused on the Adrian College piece and the wetlands and the preservation of those and the recycling, but we're going to attack wind and solar again here real soon.
From an economic standpoint, when you look at wind and solar, I mean, isn't it true that the cost of kilowatts have come down using both of those technologies?
Yeah, they have. The folks that we've talked to, even since 2006 when I started exploring this with various companies, the price is coming down. The interest level is very high, particularly in solar. Some of our sister tracks in our company, Watkins Glen, they're up on a hill. They're putting in some significant wind, some of the big turbines that we have in Michigan here where the wind is conducive for that. We have a lot of wind here in the Irish Hills, maybe not for the big turbines, but we are talking about some small wind energy. There's a lot of companies out there. The cost of those and the efficiency is going way up exponentially almost, it seems like, every year. So we'll continue to talk to them as well as solar. I really hope in the next 2 or 3 years we have more solar and some wind turbines here. And we continue the recycling, and we continue the carbon offsets, and Adrian College and the Science Center is going, and who knows what's next.
My guest is Roger Curtis, the president of Michigan International Speedway. Roger, let's take it to the NASCAR level. When people think of green initiatives, I mean, frankly, they may not often think about an industry and an organization like NASCAR, but the fact is that the Michigan International Speedway is not the only track, and NASCAR is doing some things pretty aggressively on the green front, and they call it NASCAR Green, I believe.
Yeah, they've done a terrific job. They just started a couple years ago, and yeah, you can say they're a little late to the party, but that's okay. They're in now, and that's all that matters, is trying to get everybody engaged at some level. And NASCAR jumped in, and again, I think they finally saw, well, you know, our fans are conservationists, and yeah, they may not all be joining Greenpeace tomorrow, and Greenpeace may not be sponsoring, you know, Dale Jr. next year, but there is a logical connection, and I'm really glad NASCAR saw and switching, you know, using a lot of ethanol in the fuel now at the races is tremendous. Helping the teams conserve because they're crisscrossing the country with their semi-trucks, with the cars, and helping them find more efficient ways to do that. Safety Clean, obviously, long in the sport, has done a terrific job of collecting many, many years, not just in the last couple, all the used motor oil that they refine and recycle. And the number of gallons, I mean, it's just been 7,500 gallons here a year. At MIS, I can't imagine, what it is if it combined. So they've done a tremendous job, and they're expanding very quickly. I think you're going to see some pretty amazing things. They're going to be announcing some new partnerships here in the next few months. So I think NASCAR Green is going to continue to expand just like here at MIS, and that's good for all of us because, again, there are millions and millions and millions of NASCAR fans, and if we can engage them and show them, hey, it's okay, even if it's just recycling at home or turning off your lights or, you know, you don't have to go live on a mountain and eat, you know, pine cones forever and live in a cave, you know, to go green, and you can do it in incremental steps, and so I hope that's what we're showing everyone.
Yeah, and you know, in the 4 years we've been doing this program, we've talked to a lot of folks all over the country, and one of the questions I always ask, and you just answered, I mean, what can people do in their homes? What can people do with their cars? What can people do on an incremental basis to start moving in a green direction and not be overwhelmed by the prospect of maybe wind and solar and geothermal and all of those things? And it sounds to me like you're a proponent of that incremental approach to this whole green initiative.
You have to be. And again, listen, I'm an environmentalist. I'm members of Sierra Club, Audubon, et cetera. But those people that are out there that are proposing that the entire population go completely off the grid today is not going to happen. So how can we, and there are still people, as we know, that don't believe in global warming. So it's really more to me of how can you not be so militant about the approach and really start to ease people into a comfort level that, hey, there are serious issues? And as I said at the beginning of the show, there's everything from global warming down to, can you write Senator Stabenow and encourage her to continue to work to keep the Asian carp out of our wonderful Great Lakes? I mean, it's everything in between. And so if you can just encourage people to find something that is in their comfort level as individuals or families, and recycling is obviously a very easy one, or, you know, watching where you drive and how you drive and things like that, and what kind of products you purchase, or writing that letter to your senator or representative. It doesn't have to be you suddenly put up solar panels on your roof and wind turbines and, you know, you completely go off the grid and you bicycle everywhere. I mean, that stuff is great if you want to go there, but if we can get more people doing just a little bit, that to me is more impactful than getting a few people to do 100%.
Well, I couldn't think of a better way to end the interview, Roger. It's been a real pleasure. I want to congratulate you not only on the wonderful relationship with Adrian College and extending that, but all of the neat things. And I know there are those that we did not cover. I'd love to get down sometime and get a tour of MIS and see firsthand some of the things you're doing.
Well, we'd love to have you. Maybe you could do a show from out here. And when we get the kids out here next spring, there's going to be thousands of them. It'd be a great opportunity to do the track and explore yourself.
Absolutely. I'll guarantee you we'll work on that. I've been talking with Roger Curtis, the very green and very enthusiastic president of the Michigan International Speedway. Roger, thank you so much for being on Greening of the Great Lakes.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
That was Greening of the Great Lakes with Dr. Kirk Heinze on MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Find more online at greeningofthegreatlakes.com.
The Michigan State University Department of Radiology is a leader in MRI, imaging research, and patient care. From world-class research to state-of-the-art patient care, we're providing outstanding diagnostic imaging technology. We're also a leader in sports medicine, delivering quality care to athletes and sports participants of all ages. Visit us online at rad.msu.edu and see how we are boldly designing the future.
Hi, it's Scott Westerman for the MSU Alumni Association. Join the MSUAA family, and you're instantly connected to our network of over 500,000 Spartans in every corner of the world. Whether it's community, connections, career growth, or class, that's what the MSU Alumni Association is all about. Join the world's largest Spartan Nation community at alumni.msu.edu. That's alumni.msu.edu. The MSU Alumni Association, your personal network for life.
You're tuned to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
I'm Russ White for MSU Today. Dan Redford is passionate about building economic and cultural ties between the United States and China, and he's a 2012 Distinguished Young Alumnus at Michigan State University.
And I'm from a small town, and proud to be from a small town in Frankenmuth, Michigan, and going to MSU was the biggest decision I made in my life. There's about 20 times more people there, but it really introduced me to perspectives from all over the world. Met people that I and considered things I had never really thought about before. And now that I live here in China, I can't think of a better place that could have prepared me for such a diverse environment than Michigan State.
Dan says his love for China was born out of a conversation with his friend Mike.
I had no plans of really getting into Chinese or China, coming to China for that matter, when I got to Michigan State. In fact, I took Spanish just to get my language requirement out of the way. And then the summer before my sophomore year, my friend Mike and I had a conversation, and he mentioned he was taking Chinese. And I thought that sounded just interesting, and I thought I'd give it a shot. And I fell in love with it, and now here I am living in Beijing. So it just really is another great Spartan story.
Redford's road to China began at MSU, and now he works for a company called First Pathway Partners.
Well, the road to China, as with everything in my life, well, not everything, but most things, started in East Lansing, taking a Chinese class at MSU. And the first time I went to China was through an MSU study abroad program to Nankai University, and immediately fell in love with it. And so for the next two summers, I came back by myself. I actually served as a student ambassador representing the U.S., Michigan, and MSU at the U.S. Pavilion at the World Expo in Shanghai. And then graduated and got a job. I was lucky to get a job in East Lansing with the Gillespie Group, which was taking on a very interesting dilemma, but also a great opportunity in our community, which was welcoming our Chinese students to the community. And that was just a really, really great year of my life. And now I live in Beijing, and I work for a new company, and we are helping Chinese go to America, actually. So our company is called First Pathway Partners. We are an industry-leading EB-5 immigration investment provider, so we help Chinese invest in America, and in exchange for that investment of $500,000 that creates 10 jobs in America, they and their family can become Americans and obtain a green card. My job is to manage operations here in China, which is our biggest market, and it's just a very exciting opportunity for me to be able to do this.
Dan Redford says many Americans share a common misconception about China.
I think the biggest thing is they think China can be summed up in one sentence or one type of people or one type of economy. And the fact is China is a very diverse place with thousands of years of history, different kinds of people. And I think that's the most important thing to consider is you're not just confronting one country with a monolithic culture, but actually a country of 1.3 billion people with 1.3 billion different ways of seeing the world.
Redford has this advice for Chinese students attending MSU and for the East Lansing and Michigan residents they'll encounter in the United States.
I think, first of all, if you're a Chinese student coming to Michigan State, go online, meet people, get a Facebook account, do your research. Get to know people that are living in your dorm. It's the beauty of the world we live in today is that you have the opportunity to really be a go-getter and to prepare yourself better and get to know specific people. I mean, really make a commitment to try to make friends outside of your own community. And likewise, for the East Lansing residents and for people in the state of Michigan, it's really our responsibility to put that first step forward, welcome them to our community. If you're a business owner, you know, consider interning one of these students. You won't regret that. We had an intern at Gillespie Group. It was my first job out of college, a Chinese student. And we're still friends to this day. And I learned a lot from him, probably more from him than I could have learned, than he learned from me. And I think Pat Gillespie, my boss, would have said the same thing about Ryan. So we have to really put that red carpet out for these folks. But it does go both ways.
And Redford's advice for MSU students who want to follow in his footsteps?
I would just be entrepreneurial. Find your own opportunity. Again, MSU is a resource. They have dozens, maybe even hundreds, I don't know, of study abroad programs all over the world. So if China's not your cup of tea, no pun intended, you can try to go to other places. And I would strongly suggest that whatever major, whatever profession that you're looking into, go global, because everything, whether you're going to open a restaurant down the street or come to China and do international business, it's all going to involve the world economy. So definitely get out there and see it for yourself.
For more on 2012 MSU Alumni Association Distinguished Young Alumnus Dan Redford, please visit firstpathway.com. I'm Russ White for MSU Today.
Our mission is to be your personal network for life.
Scott Westerman leads the Michigan State University Alumni Association.
The best reason to become a certified Spartan by joining the MSU Alumni Association is the network of 500,000 Spartans that are out there that we can connect you with.
Join the Michigan State University Alumni Association online at alumni.msu.edu. MSU Ag Bio Research, leading innovation in food, natural resources, and energy.
We're the face of MSU across the state with infrastructure and research expertise to address those local problems.
Dr. Steve Pepke leads MSU Ag Bio Research.
MSU Ag Bio Research is the research engine that undergirds the food and agricultural industry in the state.
MSU Ag Bio Research.
This is Greening of the Great Lakes inside MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Here's your host, Dr. Kirk Heinze.
Well, we've heard some clear differences of opinion on Proposal 3 that's on the Michigan ballot. That's the proposal that would amend the state constitution to establish a new standard for renewable energy. the so-called 25% renewable energy by 2025 proposal. Here to discuss this as we approach Election Day is Saul Anuzis, former chair of the Michigan Republican Party and former member of the Republican National Committee from the great state of Michigan. And he's been very busy of late with a number of things, including urging voters to support Proposal 3. Saul, pleasure to have you on the program.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
Let's take some of the arguments to those who oppose Proposal 3. And here's one you've heard many times. I'm all for renewable energy, but I'm not for changing the Constitution.
Well, first of all, let's remember where Michigan is at. When we passed the Constitution, the last Constitution, we specifically designed it to be amendable by the citizens of Michigan. Unlike the federal Constitution, which I would argue you very rarely want to amend, and we've made it very difficult, we actually created a situation where we allow people to move forward. And 32 times since this Constitution has been passed here in Michigan have we amended it, anything from a bottle bill to medical marijuana, et cetera. It was designed so that when we got stuck in a political process where either the legislature or the regulatory bodies did not take care of the things that the citizens of Michigan wanted to do, they would have an option to take this to the voters of Michigan, and that's what we're doing. So this is much more common than people like to make it sound like, and they're also using it as kind of a scare tactic. I mean, again, we've done this 32 times.
And I think your point is well taken. People automatically think federal constitution,
right,
and changes.
Big difference.
Big difference, and that you clarify that. Okay, what about the argument that, we're all for energy independence. There's a national security issue. We got some bad folks out there we buy oil from. But we can do that through a normal marketplace economy, a supply and demand, a portfolio of energy, natural gas, oil, what have you. We really don't need to do this sort of a thing.
Well, I would say no, yes, and no. The reality is, yes, we can do it by all the above, and that's my proposal. I argue that we ought to use all the energy available here in the United States. And I think that we can become self-sufficient based on the natural gas, the oil, the nuclear, but that also includes solar, wind, and biofuels. What we need to do is use an all-the-above policy here in the United States as well as in Michigan. Right now, we do not have a market economy in Michigan. Particularly, Michigan is in a unique situation. We have a monopoly-based, government-created monopolies, government-protected monopolies that give these guys a guaranteed rate of return. And they're so powerful that they've actually passed laws that limit competition. So when you have a situation like that, that's where government has a role. That's where the people of Michigan have a role. We have an opportunity through an initiative process, again, that is very normal, very often used in our history, to go in and basically mandate certain types of activities because there isn't a market that moves us towards that. But over long term, let's be clear. I mean, we have the ability to be self-sufficient, whether it's natural gas. You take a look at fracking is going to be coming to Michigan. It's coming all over the country. You take a look at the Keystone Pipeline. You take a look at offshore drilling. You look at what we can do in Alaska. The United States, over time, has the ability to be self-sufficient. And, you know, you mentioned foreign wars. Let's remember, so much of our foreign policy today is based on a barrel of oil. And I just don't want to be losing our sons and daughters for a barrel of oil when we have the ability to be self-sufficient here in the United States and Michigan.
And we've had some generals and admirals on this program over the past year or so that make that same point. And when you hear the national security argument coming from folks who've been in Afghanistan, who've been in Iraq, who talk about the lives that have been lost and just defending the oil supply,
right,
it sort of resonates. It hits you
well,
right in the gut.
It does. And I happen to have four sons that are all of military age. One just graduated here at Michigan State, two more in college, and a senior in high school. And to me, the idea that so much of our foreign policy, so much of our overseas incursions and where we go militarily is based on oil and energy. And so, I mean, just think about that. If we were self-sufficient here in the United States, if we allowed folks to drill here, drill now, have our resources that are plentiful. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of years, which gives our entrepreneurial spirit and that American exceptionalism an opportunity to come up with renewable and other sources of energy. We really don't have to have our kids dying for oil overseas.
My guest is Saul Anuzis, who's a former chair of the Michigan Republican Party. We're talking about Proposal 3. What about the argument? You get this on both sides. Utility companies are going to pass these costs for this 25 by 25 on to consumers, so our electrical bills, energy bills are going to skyrocket. People who support the proposal say that's not necessarily the case. You got conflicting research on that issue.
Well, there shouldn't be conflicting research because written in the law and written in this proposal is a 1% cap. on average, estimates are anywhere from 50 cents to $1.50 per household will be the increase in cost for moving to renewable energy. You know, personally, I'm willing to pay $1.50 to be more self-reliant and to have a cleaner and better environment in the future. You know, they talk about these tens of thousands of dollars, even hundreds of thousands and billions. I mean, the commercials they're playing make it sound like we're all going to be, you know, remortgaging our homes to be able to get energy. And that's just not the case. Again, they're using scare tactics. It's built in as a protection for the consumers. And over time, think about this. Renewable energy over time, by definition, is cheaper. If you're going to build a wind turbine today, it is cheaper to get a kilowatt of power out of a wind turbine than it is under a new coal plant being constructed. And we have coal plants that are going offline in the near future. We're looking at a new nuclear plant here. We're looking at moving to cleaner energy, and we have to do that. We don't have a choice. So over time here, this is a smart move. It's economically a smart move, and I don't think it's going to cost us as much. Well, clearly it's not going to cost us as much as the opponents are trying to scare everybody into believing.
What about the job creation argument? Again, you see conflicting claims there. proponents say it's going to create some jobs for Michigan's economy. People who are opposed to it say it's actually going to cost us jobs.
Well, with respects to jobs, I think those who are arguing that we're going to lose jobs is kind of silly. The reality is we are going to create jobs. The question is how many? Michigan State University conducted a study that predicted anywhere from 74,000 to 94,000 new permanent high-tech jobs here in Michigan. You know, given the economic state of our state, we clearly need these kind of jobs. These are people who are going to be producing the wind turbines. They're going to be running the solar and installing all these things. This is a unique opportunity. Michigan has a lot of industries right now that are moving to the renewable energy field into that line of business. It is an opportunity for us to lead. 30 other states around the country have passed some type of renewable energy standards, increasing their rates up to about 25%. That seems to be the target that most people are going to. They believe that's kind of a reasonable mix of energy. And so if Michigan has a chance to be a leader in that basis, we will for the first time be exporting our products again, exporting our expertise, and I think that would be great for the state of Michigan.
According to the Mackinac Center, and you're very familiar with the folks up there, you know them very well, the source of funding is an issue for them, and a lot of the money for Proposal 3 is coming, they say, they claim, from a group called Green Tech Action Fund, which is an environmentally based group out of California. Any truth to that?
Maybe. I honestly don't know. I mean, I'm not part of the...
Does it matter to you?
It doesn't matter to me. Look, I mean, special interests are involved on both sides. I mean, the right. Utilities are putting in millions of dollars to support their monopolies, and there's a bunch of other people on the other side for different reasons that want to make this happen. I mean, I think that it is our job as citizens, as activists, and as voters to make a decision based on the policy, based on what we believe is the right thing to do for our state and our country. So to me, whether this is being backed by one group or the other, I mean, if that was a criteria for backing any proposal, I think we could all find excuses to vote against or for just about everybody and anything on the ballot ever. That's just the nature of how politics works. So where the money comes from is fairly irrelevant to me because the monopolies are doing all they can to protect it, and there are people on the other side who obviously will benefit from green energy or renewable energies. There's others who believe in it philosophically, and maybe, you know, again, I don't even know who this group is, but it really doesn't matter to me. I'm looking at this for, you know, my children and grandchildren.
I'm talking with Saul Anousis, who's the former chair of the Michigan Republican Party. Saul, people will be going to the polls on Tuesday. Some folks are maybe still waffling a little bit on this. A lot of folks are just looking at these constitutional amendments as sort of this carte blanche. We're just opposed to these sorts
right.
of things. In the minute we have left, I mean, what would you say to these voters that are right on the fence thinking, you know, for all the reasons we've talked about, maybe this is the right thing to do. Maybe this rises to a constitutional question. Or, maybe this doesn't. I mean, what would you say to them?
Well, first of all, I don't think it rises to a constitutional question in the sense of philosophically. You know, we all hate to play the political games of being here at this stage with a constitutional amendment. The political reality is we have no option. This is the best viable political option to move us forward. There are safeguards in the proposal. This has to be enacted by the legislature. There are going to be lots of people that get to implement this proposal once it goes through. So I think that there is a very natural progression to move forward, to have cleaner energy, to have renewable energy, to have Michigan more self-reliant, and not to mention bring jobs to the state. So I would encourage people to vote yes on Proposal 3. This is not a partisan issue. This isn't a conservative liberal issue. This is about good governance. This is about good public policy and what's good for the state of Michigan.
I've been talking with Saul Anousis, who is the former chair of the Michigan Republican Party and also former member of the Republican National Committee. We're talking about the importance of supporting 25% renewable energy by 2025, or Proposal 3. Saul, thanks so much for being on Greening the Great Lakes.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
That was Greening of the Great Lakes with Dr. Kirk Heinze on MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Find more online at greeningofthegreatlakes.com.
I'm Russ White for MSU Today. Technology entrepreneur Henry Balanon is co-founder and vice president of Detroit Labs, and he's a 2012 Distinguished Young Alumnus at Michigan State University.
So I'm a co-founder of Detroit Labs. I was co-founded in May 2011. We got funding from Detroit Venture Partners, which is Dan Gilbert, MSU alum, Josh Linkner, who created ePrize, Brian Hermelin, and then recently they took on a partner, Magic Johnson, also an MSU alumni. Took money from them, got operational support from them, and created this this company called Detroit Labs, which we make iPhone, iPad, Android, Windows, and just mobile apps in general. Some of the things we've done is, as far as top of the sales funnel, eyeballs, engagement, we did a app for Chevy for the Super Bowl. It was a second screen experience where they wanted to hijack the viewer's attention. So the Super Bowl is unique in that people don't watch that sporting event for that sporting event. So people are always looking for distractions. So they wanted to capture that when commercials were not playing. So when games were being played, people were engaging with the brand. They use that app to create, or they use that app to give out 20 cars, so a lot of people downloaded it. It was like 700,000 downloads that day, and that day on both the iTunes and Android marketplace, I was able to be in the top 10 free apps, passing Facebook and Angry Birds for that day. So that was really something. And at the bottom of the sales funnel type apps that we've done, you know, return on interest type things, we also work on the Domino's Pizza apps, which is for the iPhone and the Android, and has over 3 million downloads, generates over $3 million per week in revenue, in pizza revenue for them, and has over 30,000 ratings in the iTunes App Store, average 5 stars. So that's doing really well.
Balanon says the future in the app world is all about mobile.
We hit the app world at the proper moment, 2 years too early, and no one would care 2 years too late, and there'd be so much competition that we wouldn't be able to compete. What's next is where the demand is really high for mobile. It's the only screen that's with you at all times. So it's not going to go away. So we're trying to fill demand. So a lot of brands are coming to us wanting apps, and we're just trying to do our best to make sure that we keep everyone happy and we're able to have that workforce to fulfill all of that.
Henry Balanon says one of his main inspirations for trying to help build Detroit's WebWord technology corridor is his daughter.
I used to live in D.C., and I've always wanted to move away from Michigan. I grew up here, and I always wanted to move away, and I finally did. And it took me moving away to realize how much I love Michigan. So a year after moving out of D.C., I came back with this newfound love for Michigan. And when I had my daughter, I have this long-term plan. I wanna do all this footwork now to make Michigan cool, to make Detroit cool, so that after college, 25 years from now, 24 years, whatever it is, 23 years from now, and it's time for her to make a choice on where to go, I'm hoping she stays home. So this is all a ploy working to build up Michigan so that my daughter could stay home after college.
Henry says his Spartan Network for Life helps him every day.
MSU has helped a lot. Just having that Spartan connection, just being an alumni of this, what I found out in the real world is Spartans want to help other Spartans, and Spartans are always connected to each other. So every step, every piece of business, every piece of my social life, family too, I'm just surrounded by MSU. My sister went to MSU. My wife's entire family went to MSU. All my friends went to MSU, and even business connections. So, I mean, as I had mentioned before, Dan Gilbert is an investor in our company, also a Spartan alum. There's just a lot of things that are happening, and Spartans go out of their way to help other Spartans, and I think that's key with all of this.
For more on 2012 MSU Alumni Association Distinguished Young Alumnus Henry Balanon, please visit DetroitLabs.com. I'm Russ White for MSU Today.
The Michigan State University Department of Radiology is a leader in MRI, imaging research, and patient care. From world-class research to state-of-the-art patient care, we're providing outstanding diagnostic imaging technology. We're also a leader in sports medicine, delivering quality care to athletes and sports participants of all ages. Visit us online at rad.msu.edu and see how we are boldly designing the future.
Hi, it's Scott Westerman for the MSU Alumni Association. Join the MSUAA family, and you're instantly connected to our network of over 500,000 Spartans in every corner of the world. Whether it's community, connections, career growth, or class, that's what the MSU Alumni Association is all about. Join the world's largest Spartan Nation community at alumni.msu.edu. That's alumni.msu.edu. The MSU Alumni Association, your personal network for life.
MSU Ag Bio Research, leading innovation in food, natural resources, and energy.
We're the face of MSU across the state with infrastructure and research expertise to address those local problems.
Dr. Steve Pepke leads MSU Ag Bio Research.
MSU Ag Bio Research is the research engine that undergirds the food and agricultural industry in the state.
MSU Ag Bio Research.
Our mission is to be your personal network for life.
Scott Westerman leads the Michigan State University Alumni Association.
The best reason to become a certified Spartan by joining the MSU Alumni Association is the network of 500,000 Spartans that are out there that we can connect you with.
Join the Michigan State University Alumni Association online at alumni.msu.edu.
Victory for MSU!
You're tuned to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
The program is MSU Today. I'm Scott Westerman from the MSU Alumni Association with some observations from the Spartan life. We love our comfort zones. Even an uncomfortable status quo is preferable to the unknown. But things change. We outgrow a job, or the job outgrows us. Our relationship ends. A health crisis appears. Or the sting of an unhappy current reality becomes so great that we are forced to step outside of our self-imposed boundaries. This is one of life's great ironies. We often fight to stay inside the box when the very thing we need to fuel our future lies on the outside. This week, make a list of the things that are keeping you inside your comfort zone. How many of them are self-imposed? Every single one. The next chapter of your life's adventure will be written with or without your direct involvement. Maybe it's time to imagine what that chapter might be if your uncomfortable comfort zone didn't exist. As I was researching this week's message, I discovered this anonymous poem, which I've customized just for you. I hope it gets you thinking about those self-imposed limitations and the opportunities that lie beyond them. I used to have a comfort zone where I knew I wouldn't fail. The same four walls and busy work were really more like jail. I longed so much to do the things I'd never done before,
but stayed inside my comfort zone and paced the same old floor. I didn't want to build the traits successful people share. I watched my friends advance and thrive, pretending not to care. I claimed to be so busy with the things inside the zone, but deep inside, I longed for something special of my own. I couldn't let my life go by just watching others grow. I held my breath, I stepped outside, and let the changes flow. I took a step, and with new strength I'd never felt before, I kissed my comfort zone goodbye and closed and locked the door. If you're in a comfort zone, afraid to venture out, remember that our heroes were at one time filled with doubt. A step or two and words of praise can make your dreams come true. Reach for your future with a smile. Happiness is there for you. I'm Scott Westerman from the MSU Alumni Association. Learn more about Spartans Helping Spartans at alumni.msu.edu.
The University Research Corridor, empowering Michigan.
Well, the University Research Corridor is a collaboration among Michigan State University, University of Michigan, and Wayne State.
That's Michigan State University President Luana Simon.
People of Michigan have made an extraordinary investment in us, but no institution can do everything. And we need to use our visibility and our cachet to advance the state of Michigan and its people. And the URC is a vehicle to do that.
Visit us online at urcmich.org.
It's not that it's the only game in town, but it is a game in town that brings, we hope, a spotlight to Michigan and also tells the people of Michigan that we are committed to using the investment they've made in us to try to move the state forward.
Visit the University Research Corridor online at urcmich.org.
Hi, it's Scott Westerman for the Michigan State University Alumni Association. And if you're the parent of a Spartan, there's no better gift you can give than a lifetime membership in the largest Spartan organization in the world. Joining the MSUAA family opens the doors to our network of over 500,000 Spartans who'll help you feel right at home wherever you go, who can help connect you with Spartans on the inside, who can help you grow in your career. People who give you special treatment just because you're a Spartan. And an investment in a life membership in the MSU Alumni Association doesn't just add value to your Spartan life. It helps Spartans everywhere build more competitive skill sets and move more quickly in the direction of their dreams. Learn more about an MSUAA life membership online at alumni.msu.edu. That's alumni.msu.edu. The Michigan State University Alumni Association. Your personal network for life.
The Michigan State University Department of Radiology is a leader in MRI, imaging research, and patient care. From world-class research to state-of-the-art patient care, we're providing outstanding diagnostic imaging technology. We're also a leader in sports medicine, delivering quality care to athletes and sports participants of all ages. Visit us online at rad.msu.edu and see how we are boldly designing the future.
You're tuned to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
Visit us online at SpartanPodcast.com.
Thank you for listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Please visit us online at SpartanPodcast.com and join us every Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock for MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.